Hi, and welcome to episode 84 of the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In today's episode, Steph and I are unpacking the process of running a launch for selling a collection of paintings. We chat about the process that I went through recently with my own collection launch, and also why I'm questioning if it's the right business model for me in selling my work in the future. We also look at some alternative ways for selling your artwork that are far simpler and less stressful. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, this is Susan Nellicott and welcome to the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In these episodes, I throw open the doors to my art studio practice and how I run my business as a professional artist. Whether it be candid insider chats with my studio assistants Laura and Steph, or interviews with other creatives, or answering listener questions, there is something here for every emerging artist. I hope my journey can help you feel a bit more at home in your own. Hi there, Steph.
Hello, Susan.
Did you notice I put my best radio voice on?
It was very impressive.
How have you been?
Pretty good.
It's good.
I think.
Cool.
I lose track, too. Hey, how about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Ready to launch into today's topic because we are dipping back into our series on selling art. And today we're talking all about launches.
Mm-hmm. Launch into the topic of launching.
Launching into the topic of launching. And I think it's interesting coming at it today because I think we're going to bring in a few different perspectives on this one. Because I think, series launches and collection launches have become quite the thing in the, online art world, haven't they?
They are. Late? They're very triggering for me.
Oh, yeah, me too. Just
putting it out there. Yes. Straight up.
That's the thing, right, though. They've become something that's kind of almost expected and have been sort of promoted by a few leaders in the industry as the way to most effectively sell art. And I'm not sure.
Well, look, you have tried it.
I have tried it many times. Yes. And I've had really great success with some of them. A few years ago, I had some great successes with selling collections, but not so great this last time around.
So I feel like when you say not so great, it's about like what your expectation was.
Yes.
Yeah. As opposed to the result. Or framing that in terms of how much work you did to launch compared to the result.
Both. Yeah? Both. Right.
Okay.
So I thought we'd talk about that a bit and talk about those steps involved in launching a collection because any artists out there that are listening, if they're doing that, they're probably hugely aware right now of how much work actually goes into producing a really good-looking launch.
Mm-hmm.
And we've covered photography, both lifestyle and art, so that we've got great photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, regardless of if you're going to sell online or not, having great quality photos of your artwork is always a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about like preparing to sell a collection and, some of those emotional hurdles that can come up with it as well. The tech headaches that can come up with it as well and mm-hmm. some that we've talked through, recording all of that information about the collection and the titles and all of that jazz. Gosh, I'm feeling exhausted just going through that whole list. And then you go through the stage of uploading all of that to the website and it's all ready to go. So launch phase for me, I guess, is when I draw a line in the sand and go, this is the date that I'm releasing the collection.
Yes.
No pressure or anything.
Yeah, right. And look, you say exhausted just listing that. I agree. Yes. And this is part of the problem, hey, is by the time we get to this launch phase, we're knackered.
Yes. Yes. And just to hark back a little bit to a previous episode we did on my diagnosis for ADHD, your possible diagnosis for ADHD. Yeah. That there's good reasons why that is. So, I'm finally in a space now where I have more clarity about that and also around that I have dyscalculia as well, which is the numbers version of dyslexia, that I have a lot of problems doing spreadsheets, inputting data that involves numbers. So, yes, it's like I'm not sure it's quite the model for me, but I'm going to step out what I did for people that do want to know before I go to what I've been doing since then that okay. feels a lot more easeful and in flow.
Right. So the framework that you've used in the past, mm-hmm. I'm assuming you learnt from somewhere. It was modelled to you in terms of other artists.
Oh, so many other artists are selling collections. So it's, there's so many artists out there doing this these days. But, yes, it's a very well-tread road, well-trod road. So when I make that decision, I don't actually make that decision and make announcements about dates until I'm really far down the road with all of my uploading of stuff, because it can take me a really long time depending on how my brain's functioning. So when I feel a comfortable, you know, distance from that and that I can see that this is going to be pretty achievable, I make an announcement about a date and I send out a newsletter and I let my newsletter list know. So I have a newsletter list of a collector's club mm-hmm. for people that want to hear about my art, which is different to the one that you would receive if you listen to this podcast and you subscribe to that, because it's a different newsletter list. Mm-hmm. So I'll send out, I have a beautiful email platform that I use called Flowdesk, which I highly recommend, and I'm actually an affiliate for it. So if you do want to check it out and sign up for it, you can find that link in the show notes. I really do believe in it and think it's a very beautiful, intuitive newsletter platform. So if you want to check that out, have a look. So I'll send out that little teaser and I'll send out like one or two or three really gorgeous images just to build excitement and let people know.
Okay, so for context, how far in advance is the teaser to the launch? Like what sort of window?
I think it really depends on what feels comfortable for you. I think you've got to give people at least a week. Okay. More if you can. Like a lot of artists give a lot longer lead time because they're very confident on that launch date, but I don't like to do it too far in advance. Because,
so your rationale for teasing a date or letting people know it's coming up is them so they can put it in their calendar knowing that they are interested, find the funds.
So to put it in context, like often I've been working on this collection for months, so people that are interested in it have been engaged watching things being created. They've got their eye on specific ones that they love. I know they love it because they tell me. So what I want to do is tell them it's going to be available. If you've got your eye on something in specifically, then by all means sign, you know, this is the date, get it in your calendar, whatever you have to do to remember. And I'll also share that on Instagram as well. So I send that kind of personalized message to them via email, and I also will put very similar copy into my Instagram to let people know when I announce that as well.
Yeah.
And then I will do probably about, it depends what day of the week that the actual launch is happening, but 2 to 3 days before, I'll actually put together quite a long email that gives people a look at what's coming.
Yeah.
And I'll just have the title, the size, so that they can get used to the idea of it. I've played around with listing the price there on the newsletter and also not listing the price on the newsletter. And in some ways I think it's good to tell people how much, but also I think it's kind of good to not, so that people have to click through when they get that announcement email. It also depends on if I've like actually physically listed them as well. So I'm a bit, the jury's a bit out for me on that aspect. What would you lean toward?
I don't know. I think that's something that, you know, somebody who's really great at analytics would be able to answer that question, because it's probably specific to each audience. However, I feel like if I have to ask how much it is, I can't afford it. But Oh, I don't know, Suze.
That's why I don't know either. So I just play around with it. I see my newsletter emails as like an opportunity to experiment each time. So I haven't followed a formula with that. But I will send out a really beautiful, and Flowdesk actually makes it super easy to make really beautiful emails very simply, just uploading photos and putting in text and information, and you can customize them with your branding, etc. as well. And I send that out, and I find that's a really valuable one, and often I'll get little emails back from people saying, oh, I'm really excited for this, or right. And I can get a little bit of a gauge on people are watching and they're excited. And again, echo across social platforms. So I'm mainly Instagram. I do cross post to Facebook as well, but I'm just constantly just letting people know in the lead up. And then there will be the launch email, like the actual one. So the one that's 2 or 3 days before will be letting people know, you know, it's coming and this is when it's coming. And then, yeah. Totally lost my train of thought.
You do again. Something. You Hang do on. Something. Oh, go on.
There
go
was
on.
Something I had to say. Tell me, it might be what you're about to say.
You do something a bit nifty where I've seen you release a collection to your subscribers.
That's
early.
What I was going to talk about.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love okay. it when you do that. It's like, so my work wife. Yes, so I have in my Squarespace shop, you can set up something really cool actually, which is like a password protected page. You might have done that also for your e-course, have you?
No, I can't remember. Yes.
Anyway, you can set up a page that's password protected really easily in Squarespace. And so what I have is a shop that's set up with a password, and it's my VIP access shop. And again, I don't always use it. It really depends. Sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. But it is fairly easy within Squarespace to populate a shop, this password protected shop with your collection. Mm. And then once it's been, and then you give people like an early access email where they've got an hour or something before it goes out to the general public. And then once the hour's up, you can just go in and really easily move them all over to a regular shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that a few times in the past, and that's kind of fun to do, and it creates a bit of momentum, and you know, but it's still a lot of fiddling around and work. I didn't actually do it with this last launch I did with the Soul Signature series, because I did something new with that as well, which is I built out a collections page which actually just talked about my journey of creating that body of work, and I made a little video, and it had really beautiful photographs. And just because that collection was a pretty big departure from what I'm known for as an artist,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to really explain to my audience why that difference and the journey I'd been on to get there, because I wanted it to make sense for people. So I didn't do the VIP shop because I had like a collections page, and then I had a regular shop, and I also was just so exhausted by that stage that with all the things that the idea of moving it was just like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to put it in a shop and not do that whole thing, which, you know, I have to kind of analyze that in retrospect and go, well, did that have an impact on sales? Should I have done the VIP protected mm-hmm. launch? So, mm-hmm. you know, if I do this again down the track, maybe that's something for me to keep in mind.
I just want to talk for a little bit about why you do those things, because there are psychological triggers in this methodology that are supposed to help increase sales. So teasing out your collection, the psychology behind that is people get excited about it, anticipate it. There's a sense of like having to wait for something makes it more special. It's not just available whenever. There's also this concept of like building hype, but you're also suggesting to them that if they don't get in quickly at that exact time, that they might miss out.
Yes.
So it's the FOMO trigger. Yeah,
it is. It's kind of a little bit manipulative. Really, it is. Isn't it? But it's like, you know, this has been the go-to for
the formula.
Kind of how it's done, which I'm glad we're unpacking it and talking about it, because I think it's so easy to go along and just do what everyone else is doing, which I don't know how effective it is for most people, to be honest. I mean, I have had great success with that in the past, and I have, you know, I have never completely sold out a collection, but I've sold big amounts of collections. This collection, that was not the case. I had modest sales. So it was disappointing to me, given how many paintings that I've made, how many sold.
And how much work you put into this whole process.
The whole process, which was enormous. And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, I would do it any other way, because I had a wonderful adventure with the photography and create. Like, I really genuinely love that collection. And actually, a lot of the paintings that I was so surprised didn't sell, I've actually hung in my living room. I redecorated my living room and bought new throw cushions and really allowed myself to love hard on it. So, you know, it's not to say there's not value there. But I might just step back a bit to the final stage of the launch with the final emails. So then there's the email you send out where you go, bang, it's on, it's out, it's in the shop. And that is like the worst moment for me. And I know it is for you too. And I don't know that I really want to do that to myself too much in the future. Yeah. So, you know, then it's like I try to go and do something. I try to leave the house and go and do something where I'm really nice and distracted, so that I'm not just obsessively hitting refresh. But I'm still picking up my phone, hitting refresh, you know, with relative frequency.
Yeah.
And then it's a waiting game.
Yeah.
And also what I will have done with that launch is I'll let that go out to my newsletter people for a few hours, and then I will have uploaded a whole bunch of images of that collection to the Instagram platform that I use. And then I'll upload it to social media and release it over the coming days with teasers and just more about the story and more about the collection, just to make sure it gets fully filtered out.
Okay. So with the, again, with the psychological triggers, backtracking a little, when you do the password protected page, that is about rewarding your newsletter sign up people, your VIPs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it, giving somebody your email address and engaging with them, like, that deserves a reward. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You want to give them something special.
Yes.
And then you do that bit where they get early access, which encourages people who may not have signed up, who want early access, to get in there, to sign up to your list. And then you're putting it out into the world via your Instagram. You're educating people more and more about what it is, what you've done, how they can access it.
And I'm also posting, I'm posting the pieces that have sold, because it's good for people to see things are selling, because they might want to get in there and buy it. So it's a real, the launch is actually for me a real interplay between email marketing and social media marketing, and just dropping that, those messages in there. And I also usually drop in between in my messaging, in my social media, like some in-action studio shots, so that it's not just all hard selling, so that there's, you know, a bit of process in there and a bit of this is what's actually going on today. So, yeah, so that's the process that I went through with the big launch for the Soul Signature Collection. If people want to see that and see that page, it's all on my website, just in the original art section, if they want to check it out. Just harking back a couple of weeks ago when we did the episode on my diagnosis for ADHD and this uncovering of a condition that happens with people, some people with ADHD, which I believe I have in spades, which is rejection sensitive dysphoria. Meaning that I take disappointment very, very badly. And I now understand why that is. It's actually a neurological thing for me, and it's not something unique to me. It's something that happens to quite a few people with ADHD.
Yeah.
So that has, and I had a big, I had a huge meltdown, right? You saw it.
Yep. Yep.
And you were constantly reminding me, you know, it's not a failure. You've actually sold a modest amount. You didn't even use the word modest. You were like, just shift your thinking around, woman. You've done well. Like,
yeah. I mean, look, from someone in my stage of my career, when I look at a launch that you had, you have, And let's say you sold 3 paintings on that first day. That might feel disappointing to you. But when I do the maths, I'm like, flipping heck, it could take me 10 paintings to make that monetary gain. And I don't know if I'd be able to do that. Or I think, oh, geez, selling 3 paintings on the first day, that's amazing. I don't know what she's complaining about.
So that's why I love talking to you when I'm in these phases, because you just give me a good face slap. Get your head straight, woman.
Oh, no. I try to be kind about it. You make me sound so mean. But
no, you don't. No, you don't. I shouldn't say that. You're very, very kind to me and very understanding. And I think we're both really relieved that I actually understand this, have more clarity now around what's going on for me in those moments. But what it's made me really reconsider is if the whole launch model actually serves me at all, or if it's kind of the worst thing I could do to myself, given that I have this extreme sensitivity to rejection or disappointment, is it wise for me to do it in that way? Hey guys, are you loving what you're hearing on the podcast and craving a bit more from my studio? Then consider checking out my e-course trilogy, Painting as a Practice, playful classes in mixed media painting designed to nurture your authentic style. If you're a beginner painter or seeking some fresh new approaches in your art, then check out Chapter 1, Laying Solid Foundations. Or if you'd like to learn more about my ways with colour and mixed media art supplies, then Chapter 2 is a great option. And if you're seeking to really hone your creative style or learn how to create a series of larger works on canvas, then Chapter 3 is a brilliant option. Each chapter is just $77 each, or you can pick up the discounted bundle of all 3 courses for just $219. To learn more, be sure to head on over to the link in the show notes or susannevicottstudio.com/online-classes. I'll see you soon.
Well, look, this is the big question. I personally believe that this model has been perpetuated by people who appear to sell out huge collections of work within minutes, and as we've talked about in an episode with Denise a few weeks ago, she pointed out that that's not the norm.
No, it is not. And I actually think it's kind of a bit insidious and perhaps damaging to a lot of fledgling artists to promote that as the norm. Sure, it can happen, and I don't want to rule out that it does genuinely happen for some people, but they're a handful of people, I think. And I definitely, I think we need to re-examine this model and think about, well, is this model actually going to serve me as a person? Because that's the place I've come to with it is, you know, on one hand, I don't want to go, well, now I've discovered I have this thing, RSD, and so now I can't do that. It's not that. It's really about, well, is pursuing a business model that exposes you to that at so many stages of the game and also is such a cumbersome process to get up and running in the first place, which is a nightmare for a person with ADHD. Is this a business model to pursue, to continue to pursue, or do I need to look at a different way of doing it?
So what are the alternatives? One that I see people doing when they're just starting out is they're creating some work, they're sharing as they go, and then when the work, that specific piece of work is finished, that's when they release it for sale, right? Mm-hmm. But I see why these big artists, these big Instagram artists who sell out lots of work, the rationale behind them not doing that is they can't keep up with that. Yeah.
So well, it's not like, very efficient. That's the problem. So to answer your question,
a kind of hand to mouth sort of vibe.
It is a hand to mouth vibe. So I totally understand from a sustainability perspective why it's better to work in collections. I think you still can work in collections if you want to. So I'm not saying you can't do that. If that feels right for you and you have the kind of level of business that supports that and that it supports you. But I actually, that is exactly what you described, how I used to sell out back at the start when my Instagram was blowing up. I would create a piece. It would get interest on Instagram. Someone would inquire if that was for sale. And I would say, well, yes, it is. And then I'd figure out a price and then I'd tell them. And then, it worked actually pretty well.
Yeah.
But then it just means that, you know, then the next day you might have had something else planned, but you have to ship it or pack it or find a box to fit it in, or, you know, and it, you may, it, just in terms of workflows of other aspects of the business isn't ideal.
Yeah, okay.
But I actually think it's better suited to me because I need to have tasks that I don't think I can ever be truly efficient. Like,
well, look,
I think I need to chunk things down to smaller
blocks. When we're talking about efficient, what you're really saying is batch working.
Batch process
working.
Which
is sold to us as the most efficient model we should all be doing.
And is the biggest nightmare for people with ADHD.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, I think we've tried, haven't we, in various aspects of the business, we've tried on batching, which is really what selling a collection is. It's a form of batching together work and selling it cohesively. And it makes sense in terms of the story, but it's such an enormous amount of work.
Huge.
And not, then in not turn, very fun. And then at the end of it, if you get disappointing results, if you're sensitive like I am, I mean, I think I have a, it's not a disorder, it's called a dysphoria.
Yeah.
You know, you might not have that, but there's still a heck of a lot of artists out there that are very sensitive to that process and can be shut down by it. So how helpful is that?
I think it puts an awful lot of pressure on the selling aspect. And I, that for me doesn't serve me. It really stresses me out. It's like the online equivalent of holding an exhibition.
Yeah.
You're creating all of this work for this one pressured moment where you have to show up and be your best shiny self and hope for the best.
And it's just not fun at all.
I don't think it is.
So on the heels of that experience, once I'd recovered and you'd been very kind to me and helped me get back on my horse, I said to you one day, Steph, I think I want to try the thing that I've seen you do where you're literally just in a cute outfit, holding your painting outside, take a photo, post it on Instagram. And so we did that. You came over one day and we took some photos of some pieces that were actually within the style of work that I'm known for as well. So, you know, let that be known that it was, you know, pieces that I was fairly confident I would have buyers for.
Mm-hmm.
And we took some cute photos outside and I just put them on my website and I sold them.
Wowzers.
I'll put them on Instagram and the website, I should
How
say.
Many did you say? How many were they? It wasn't a huge amount, but it was a decent number. Was it six or seven?
Oh, no, it was like three, but they were large.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
They were really large paintings. So, so, you know, then I'm like, yeah, this is good.
Because three at a time, that's manageable.
Well, it wasn't at a time. I didn't release them. I didn't release them at the same time. I just released them like one day and then one day later or a couple of days later. I can't even remember. I actually just worked within my own flow and went, I'll just post that now. No big deal. And it actually didn't feel like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And also had conversations with myself around, you know, it's okay if it doesn't sell, even though those conversations sometimes don't help me. But they did, which was lovely. But I have to say that in the wash up of having had those two experiences back to back, that I think I'm back to that point of making a piece and selling it.
Okay, so it's less hand to mouth because it's not like I'm working this painting today and selling it tomorrow. Like they were in the studio complete, photographed, they've gone through the whole process.
They did. I should say that I had had my photographer come in and take photos. So I have those high res images. So I still did that process.
Okay.
But without all of the hullabaloo and the hype.
I think what I like about it, what has always put me off the building hype, setting a date in the future when things are going to be available, too far in the future, let's say, not like tomorrow, is that I am afraid of losing momentum that may be or interest that has been gathered.
I think that's what happens because I have pieces that people have just gone gaga for on Instagram and they're asking and I'm like, it's coming soon, the collection's coming soon, and then the piece hasn't sold. And I know that if I had immediately engaged with that person and had the conversation, given them a price, that I could have sold it probably on the spot because I've had that experience. That's how I used to do it in the first couple of years of the business. the things that didn't work for me in that earlier part of the business was that I wasn't having stuff professionally photographed. So as long as I've got time to bring in my photographer to get the professional photos before I ship them out, it's totally doable.
Yes. I'm just tapping into something you said in that process. So hang on, I can't even remember now, I've lost it. So you said that someone would send a beautiful comment, said that they love something, ask if it was for sale, and you would respond and talk directly to that person and build a relationship with them. And I wonder if it's not about the timing of when something's released necessarily, but about the relationship that someone is building with you along the way.
And getting in there when they're at the peak of their interest. That's the thing. I think also, like, art is so personal. It's like when someone brings a piece of art into your home and spends sometimes thousands of dollars on it, that's like deeply personal. They would not be doing that if they had not connected with that painting. So that's what you want to cultivate. Like, when I really think about it, it's each person and each situation. And, you know, maybe if the whole collections launch thing sold really well, I might be having a different conversation. But the fact of the matter is that I think that by the time I've gotten to the end of preparing a collection launch, I'm so depleted in every way that I can't even bring good energy to it. And I don't think that ever generates sales.
Oh, no.
Nor a nice life. So I'm definitely leaning toward, for the next little while, just releasing things as I go and selling one piece at a time and allowing. Also, there's this thing that happens with, I find a lot with social media now, and particularly videos and time-lapse videos, and takes hours to create, hours and hours and hours to create a painting. Yeah. And then we create a reel or whatever and collapse it down to 30 seconds. So there's like this really shallow relationship with the time and energy that actually, and love, and that goes into making each and every painting, that is being lost. And I want to cultivate more of that with my audience. I don't want to cultivate a, because the launch, as collection launch, turns them almost into a product rather than a beautiful bespoke artwork. It's like it doesn't really fit with what I truly believe in, to be honest.
I think it also diminishes the individual purchasing it. It's like you're part of a system that I'm manipulating.
Yeah, it's to a bit gross. Make
you do something, as opposed to that one-on-one connection, conversation, back and forth. Like, in that, you're building a what is potentially a collector, not just somebody who fits within the machine of when they see your emails, you know.
Yeah.
It's so much less aligned with your business, like who you are and what your values are.
Yeah. It totally is. So I'm glad we had this conversation, actually, because it's affirmed for me that I feel like I probably need to put the collections thing to bed. I will say, like, there's another thing that I've done a few times that's actually worked so well for me in the past. Because I do like to work in collections, I like to go with a theme and a technique and to really deep dive into it and to produce. I'm quite, when I'm in that mode, I become very prolific and I make a lot of work. And one thing that's worked very well to satisfy that desire in me without it turning into a huge collection launch is doing a challenge and selling the pieces each day on Instagram. And that is a brilliant way to connect with buyers and to generate sales in a really quick and easy way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally been smaller work that I've done when I've done that. So there are so many different ways that you can go about, you know, finding the way that you work best and finding the way to sell it that's right for you. And another thing I was thinking about was that whole thing of, you know, you do the big product launch on your website and then you may not get the response that you want, and then what?
Yeah.
And so, well, for me, I've been like, well, that's my first go-to, is put it out there and try to sell it. But then there's, you know, other avenues. Like I have a lovely florist in town, Gardenia Magnifica, Ellie. She's lovely. she's hanging pieces on her wall of mine, which is a really beautiful thing. So that's an opportunity. That's kind of my first foray into retail, actually. You've inspired me to kind of step out a bit and explore retail environments for my work. And a florist feels really aligned for me. So I've really loved doing that. But also platforms like Blue Thumb or Art Lovers Australia, or I'm sure there's lots of other platforms in other countries as well, where they will take a percentage, but it's another audience that you can be exposed to and that you can evolve collectors from, which just gives you another opportunity to market. So it is more listing in a way, but if you've already created the listing, you're really only just transferring the information to another platform.
Yes. So that's where I'm at now, is in that model of the work goes through a process. So I've worked a lot on my website since we last talked about it. So I now have a web store. What I'm doing, I've reactivated that or enlivened it, I should say. So what I'm doing now is I release work in small chunks, because I do often work on maybe like 4 or 5, 6 pieces at a time. And then I'll frame them all up at once. And when I have a chunk like that, ordinarily I would just send them to a store. But now I'm releasing them onto my website first.
Yeah.
Because as I'm, I guess as my brand awareness is growing through working with stores, there are more people, there are more eyes on it. There are more eyes on my Instagram. So I'll put it there. I'll share in my stories that it's there, and also share as things sell. But I only leave it there for a couple of weeks, because then I want to access the retail side of things, and that's giving it another audience, like you say. It's like there are only a certain number of people who are ever going to see it on my website. So if it's just going to sit there, it's not really serving me. So my system now is to then give that a go on my website, because that's where I make the most money, then wrap them up, send them off to a store, and they can fulfill the marketing exercise that it's all about for me.
Totally,
and that
brilliant.
Seems to be working quite well.
Great.
I don't want to make out like I'm giving stores the sloppy seconds.
Good work. It's just being smart. Like 30%, it's kind of the lowest that anyone will charge really for, you know, as a commission on artwork. And it's a lot. And I don't really want to give that away on pieces that I know I can sell directly. Why exactly. would I do that? It's just logic.
Yes.
And just let it be known there are no sloppy seconds in your work. All your work's beautiful. So, you know.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. But that allows me to also, like, you're talking about the percentage that they're taking, but I kind of see it as being paid to market my brand,
yeah.
rather than having to pay to market and advertise my brand.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, it's an income stream.
And you're right to mention that, because, you know, I'm very aware that I have a fairly huge amount of eyes on my work via social media, but I know that most artists don't have that.
No.
And also that's becoming less valuable because Instagram is changing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And look, that was really the value of having work in stores was really highlighted to me when I had my studio sale a little while ago. I think I talked about it last before it happened. But I held a studio sale online on Instagram. But there were a number of people who were local
to me. Which
was
your sloppy seconds.
They were my sloppy seconds, yeah. But a few people bought work who were local to me, have lived in the same town as me. We have crossover in our friendships and relationships or whatever. But they didn't see me, didn't know anything about me until they saw my work in those stores, which are in a completely different city. Like, there's
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, so funny. Mm. And since then, you know, I've gained collectors and interesting opportunities because of that. So the value of that really hit home, and I was like, okay, it's working, keep doing it, like,
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah, totally. What a good conversation. I think, like, it's just so important to keep your mind open to what's working and what's not, and not just blindly follow those formulas out there. I think also, I think the buying public are getting really, really weary of that kind of model as well. Do you think?
I don't know if it's a cultural thing as well, maybe. Like, I feel like as Australians...
It's not very Australian,
no,
is it?
No, it's not very Australian. You know, Australia is much more direct in the way that we...
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Hullabaloo.
No, no hullabaloo. But also it's much more personal.
Mm.
I think that some of the systems that we've been learning or are out there in the world are quite manipulative and don't necessarily suit everybody in the way that we like to do business.
And also don't suit people with that are neurodivergent.
Yeah.
And that's like such a new big piece for me to be able to go, well, maybe I just put that to bed because it's incredibly hard for my brain to do that. And mm-hmm. I've been successful doing it in more intuitive ways that fit with my flow.
Mm-hmm.
So do that thing, you know?
Yeah. And also maybe about the stage of your business that you're at. Like if you seriously can't keep up with demand, then it makes sense to do pre-sales and launch dates and like all of that, like giving everybody an equal opportunity to hear that you're about to sell work. Like, good for you. That is amazing. I take my hat off. Like, but that's not most of us. Most of us are building something that is not necessarily even the center of our lives. We might have other jobs and other responsibilities and be parenting. And I just can't even imagine trying to find the bandwidth in my life to put all of that time and energy into just the launch. That I'd never paint work. I'd never make work if I had to put all of that time into that.
It's a huge amount of time. Yeah. It's kind of ironic to get to the end of preparing for a launch. Me talking about, actually, I don't think I like it.
But I think the things that we've talked about previously are the nuts and bolts that still have to be delivered. Like, you still got to photograph your work, you still got to upload your work somewhere. Like, all those things count. But I think to question that final part of it, which we're all told is the key to being successful, and that that can look different, I think is really important.
I do too. And I think maybe this might warrant another conversation, because I know people that have been completely shut down when they've had a big failure like that and they have stopped producing. And, you know, it shuts me down sometimes for periods of time. And yeah. I think we need to have another conversation about, you know, how to cultivate a really healthy mindset going into that. And also, if you need to have a really honest conversation with yourself about, do I really want to do it that way? Can I hack it? Because I don't think I can, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't want to keep putting myself through that. It feels a little bit self-abusive because of the neurology that I have. But that's another conversation.
I think because that's evolving. It's something that we need to, like you said, you've experimented post what you perceive as a failure. I think like the more that you do that and the more of the experiment, I'm really interested to find out what you learn from that you can share with me.
And I'm sure all the other sensitive artists out there, I take it on as a personal mission to building a sustainable and enjoyable way of doing business that serves you, that is the right match for you, because it's so different for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in this conversation we've talked about all the different things that we've tried. There is no one formula that works. Mm. What works for one person will not necessarily work for another person, because you've got to be able to bring good energy to it. You've got to be able to bring enthusiasm and positivity and,
yeah,
you know, if you're so exhausted by the time you get to hitting the launch button, then that's no good.
That's no good. Nah.
Anyway, we better leave it there.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You can always see more of my art over at susannethercutt.com. And if you're interested in learning from me or checking out the podcast notes, you can find those over on susannethercuttstudio.com. I love hearing your comments and feedback, so feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, then why not snap a screenshot and share it in your Instagram stories? Be sure to tag me at susan.nethercutt so I can say hi. And if you've got a great idea for a future podcast episode or know someone who you think I should interview, then pop on over to susannethercuttstudio.com/podcast, hit the button in the header image to shoot me an email. Catch you next time.